She scares me every single time. It's
rude that she outs me now.
I know, you can't secretly record me. It's going to tell me every time.
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Liz.
What's up, Miss?
Not much. What's up with you?
Oh, you know, just rocking a True Blood t-shirt on a supernatural recording night, answering my fandom of pictures I post.
Your fandom? Do you get fan mail?
I just get Taylor sharing a picture of me. That's like... She literally shared my Sonya cosplay and was like, she's a queen. And I was like, you're far too sweet, but thank you.
That is awesome. That was a really nice picture. Really
thank cool you. Picture. Yeah, I was very happy with how it turned out. Do we have anything we want to talk about? Is there anything you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
Just kind of get into the episode.
Let's crack into it.
An episode that needs no introduction.
That's so true.
Season 4, episode 6. Yellow Fever. This episode came out October 23rd, 2008, and takes place in Rock Ridge, Colorado.
Sounds like a nice place.
Rock Ridge?
Yeah.
It sounds like another prison.
I like to... Does, doesn't it?
It sounds like another prison.
Yeah. Well, it's a prison for the ghost in this episode.
It is. It very much is.
Do you want a plot?
I would love a good plot, only if you're going to start with a Yorkie.
The Yorkie with the pretty pink bow is chasing me.
It'll kill you.
You better run.
Get away. It's terrifying.
How'd you get here? I ran.
And Dean doesn't run. Let's be very specific here.
No. So last episode, Dean doesn't wear shorts, but he wore shorts. Dean doesn't run. Now he ran.
This is a lot of firsts for him.
Yeah. Okay, the boys head to Rock Ridge, Colorado, a town where a man died of a heart attack at 44 years of age with no symptoms.
Wasn't he a marathon runner, too? Like, he was a healthy guy.
Was he? I know they played on that adult softball league or whatever. Was he a runner?
I thought he was a runner. I thought he was a very active 44-year-old.
I don't know. That's like that commercial they have now for the life insurance. They're like, do you know Paul? Yeah, that 77-year-old marathon runner. And the lady's like, not anymore. Oh, well then.
Okay.
Moving on. Research indicates the man died of ghost sickness, which also infects Dean. The illness causes a general anxiety that builds into a deadly fear. Sam contacts Bobby and learns that the ghost they're after is called a Buru Buru. I kept practicing that because I couldn't get it.
And we also found out Bobby can speak Japanese.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why Bobby speaks Japanese.
Ooh, thank you.
Sam and Bobby decide to scare the ghost to death. They wrap an iron chain inscribed with a spell word around his neck, and Bobby road hauls him, which I just think is just a gross word, behind the Impala, reenacting his death. This successfully scares the ghost to death just in time to save Dean before his heart fails. The episode ends with Jensen Ackles performing Survivor's 1982 hit song, Eye of the Tiger, with Baby.
Classic.
Liz has a little experience with that.
I do, yeah. It was a lot of fun, so I can only imagine how much fun Jensen had. Because I used the exact track that he used in the outtakes.
Well, if you don't know what we're talking about, you have to go follow Liz on TikTok.
Woo! I got also some Joe videos up on there. We're going to have some Blonde Ruby or Blueby.
Bluey
up there, potentially a Mary Winchester.
Oh, a lot.
I got some Sonya Blades to toss up that I did last night too.
Cool.
But yeah, there's a really good reenactment, and coming soon will be another reenactment involving the two of us, so be ready for that. That's something no one ever asked for, but they're gonna get.
We like to give you stuff you don't ask for.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. I was like, what version of Sonya Blade did nobody ever ask for? Shaolin monks, let's do it. Oh, man. This episode I love, and they have a whole Scooby moment, which is perfect. Was that was in the outtakes. Wasn't that in the outtakes, or was that in this episode? I can't remember. Where he jumps into Sam's arms.
That's in the outtakes.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought he was just like screaming for a hot minute and then like goes down to his knees and was like, whew, that was scary. But okay, so it was the outtakes right here. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, definitely check out the outtakes from this episode, Yellow Fever, because he launches himself straight up Scooby-Doo Shaggy style up into Jared's arms.
It was so funny. And the look on his face when he did that too was hilarious.
Oh man, classic. This is another pretty fun episode.
Yeah, it was. And I think it all started when the coroner just ripped the heart out and handed it to Dean.
Yeah, he was just like, here you go.
He's like, oh, here, hold that. Oh, okay. And then Sam gets spleen juice in his eye.
This whole episode was so over the top. I mean, you had some really random characters. Like, you had Dean, who was just in his own element. Then you had, like, this reptile-loving neighbor.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And, oh, man, watching Jensen act super uncomfortable around those animals.
There's an outtake of that, too. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, the whole gag reel is perfect from this season.
So good. So good. When the sheriff says that the softball team's the Gamecocks, and he's like, they're majestic animals.
Oh, no.
And the EMF detector was back in this episode.
It was. We finally got to see the EMF detector.
I feel like we haven't seen it in a while. And then Dean thinks he's haunted. He's like, am I haunted?
Well, he also thinks he coughs up a wood chip.
Yeah.
Which is when they decide to actually go to the lumber mill.
Yeah. That whole story of Luther was so sad.
I know.
Like, when they go talk to his brother, and I'm just like, oh my god, poor Luther.
Known as the town freak, but, like, the one person was nice to him, so obviously he became infatuated with her.
Yeah, and he was helping the kitten. Is that the same cat that jumps out of the locker?
Oh my god, maybe it is. I think it is. I think it is.
Such a nice, it seemed like such a nice guy. And they did horrible things to him.
I love the complete spiral that Dean has in this, where he's scared, he's unnerved, he hallucinates, then he completely just downward spirals into a complete panic attack when he's just like between hunting and panicking, and he thinks the Yorkie, which is the tiniest dog in the world, is a hellhound
with a little pink bow in its hair.
It's not even a hellhound pup.
No. The thing's probably like 5 pounds. Like
what's it going to do? Bite off your big toe? I mean, you'd lose balance, sure, but you're not going to die.
A little yippy dog. Like, come on.
Oh, man. But he really is all. I think it really also showed the stuff that really messed with him when he died the first time. Well, when he went to hell.
Because he died can't the get first time.
You know, well, Sam's already died first time, so Dean had to die first time. Also, I mean, later on, obviously, Cass is straight up Dean's ass. But where the fuck was Cass in any of this? He's just like, you know what, Dean? I'm going to let you freak out for a little bit. You deserve it.
Yeah, he's MIA.
Completely MIA.
I forgot about him. Where'd Cass go?
Not helping Dean. He's just like, go ahead, die from fear.
He's probably off with Bruby somewhere.
I'll raise you up again, motherfucker. Raise you down, grab the other shoulder. At that point, I feel like Dean would turn into the aliens from Toy Story. It was just like, the claw! And it's just Cass's arm. Pulls him right up.
Ooh, the claw!
The Cass!
I have been chosen!
I have been chosen for greater things! The Cass!
We also find out from Lilith that 4 months in hell is like 40 years.
Yes. Which had to have fucked with his brain.
Yeah, we'll find out later.
Which is also crazy, because can you imagine, like, being a demon down there? Like, you're old as fuck. But on, like, Earth years, you're a baby.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ugh, Lilith. She's just so creepy as a little girl.
I know. And to know that little girl, like, is on the Disney Channel, or was on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, that's also freaky.
It's just even more messed up. Oh, that reminds me. I saw something the other day of kids that were on the Disney Channel that were also on Supernatural. I don't know what I did with it. I'll have to find it again.
The ending of this was also a little unnerving, because it never really finished. Because obviously everything's kind of done, kaputs, blah, blah, blah. Lilith even disappears. So do, like, all the scratches on Dean's arms. But when Sam asks Dean about, like, what he saw, he, like, sees Sam's eyes flash yellow.
Yeah.
Which is obviously another hallucination, which means that shit did not stop. And then he just straight up lies, because at this point we're just fucking lying to each other.
Howler monkeys.
Howler monkeys. Saw a lot of fucking howler monkeys. He couldn't even just say hellhounds. Like, I'm sure Sam would have understood hellhounds.
Yeah.
But no, he had to just completely lie, throw it out the window.
Well, it was his turn to lie. You know, Sam lied the last time.
Sam's been lying every episode.
So now it's Dean's turn to lie.
Sam lied that he didn't know Bruby's name. Sam lied that it was Bruby.
And then they'll go, no more lies, man. And be like, okay. And then the next episode,
it's
they'll lie to each other. A lot of back and forth lying.
So much lying. But this, I liked this episode because it was heavy without feeling heavy.
Yeah. I really didn't like, though, that they had to recreate Luther's death.
Yeah, I thought that was mean. I feel like that was already a traumatic experience, which obviously already breeds negative energy and causes spirits and hauntings. But, I mean, what do you do in this situation? So obviously Luther was kind of an intelligent haunting. What do you do in the situation that's a residual haunting where they're constantly reliving what happened to them? Do you have to do it again and that breaks the cycle, or do you have to find something different?
I don't know. It was just so, I didn't like watching that part.
It was very.
Because it was like he already went through all that. And like, I get you can't find, like Sam said, you can't find all the pieces of his body because he was, you know, dragged everywhere. But it was just so sad that he had to do it twice.
R.I.P. Luther.
Oh, R.I.P. Luther indeed. Yeah, especially since that Frank guy. Oh, that Frank guy went and killed him. Oh, because he had a crush on his wife and the wife ended up killing herself. Like, I mean, she did that before that, but.
Yeah.
And then the sheriff covered it up, you know, because Frank was a pillar of the community.
Yeah, and then got real mad that he got, like, real nervous.
Yeah.
Got real nervous once they found out what actually fucking happened.
You never want to be a pillar of the community, people.
Never.
Doesn't end well.
I sometimes kind of wonder, too, if maybe the spirit had an effect on Sheriff Britton. Because once he got in there and realized that they knew, he, like, lost his shit. So much so that he got a heart, like, his heart stopped.
He was using steel wool to scratch his arms. Like, that's not, pretty messed up.
Now my, not a,
now my hands are really itchy.
Not a normal thing.
No. Well, neither is scratching your arm until you bleed. Like, I mean, he had a ton of blood coming out of his arm. Like,
I'll say, yeah, that's not a usual thing.
No.
You want, I mean, you want the dead skin off, but you don't want the skin off.
There's a point where you have to stop exfoliating.
Exactly.
Like, normally when it starts to hurt, it's a good
or bleed
good time. Yeah.
Raw is not good. Bleeding is worse.
Raw's okay for sushi, not okay for arms.
No. I was going to say something gross and I'm not going to do it.
Oh,
okay.
Grosser than that.
Okay, fine. You pushed me. Arm sushi. You're welcome.
You have soy sauce for that?
I mean, you could put soy sauce on it.
No, that'd probably burn.
A little bit of ginger. Toss some wasabi. It's just like Dean's arm on like a bed of rice. It's because that Cass's handprint at the top.
I'm sure someone can make that.
Oh, good times. Do you have any fun facts?
Yes, I do.
Following that horrible ending? Because Sam with yellow eyes is no dice. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I also don't like arm sushi.
I don't think any people do. Do you like howler monkeys?
They never bothered me. I skipped the monkey exhibit at the zoo, so maybe that's why. So at the end of this episode, an extra clip was added after the producer credits titled Supernatural Presents Jensen Ackles. The clip shows Jensen during what seems to be a take of one of the scenes in the episode set to the song Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. However, the cut spans out beyond the scope of the original scene to an approximately 1 minute long out of character performance with Ackles lip syncing to the lyrics and performing the song, complete with air guitar and the crew laughing in the background. Jared Padalecki was the reason for this clip at the end of the episode where Jensen lip syncs because he decided to miss his cue and see what Jensen would do.
That's so funny. He knew he'd mess around.
Like, I just want to see what happens.
So he went through to the end, man.
He's like, I'm not going to bring the donuts over. We're just going to see how this goes. The director of this episode, Phil Scricchia, also edited the show's gag reel. For that reason, he would more readily let the cameras keep rolling in order to catch potential goofs, and that's why he didn't cut when Jensen started the improvisation, because he wanted to see how it played out.
I like that. I like that kind of director. He has no problem editing that kind of stuff.
Mm-mm. Me, on the other hand, no, I'm just kidding.
That's why we don't have outtakes. Just kidding. We have too many outtakes.
so many that they're an entire episode. When Bobby replies to Sam in Japanese after Sam asks him if he reads Japanese, what Bobby says roughly translate to "since before you were born." Jim Beaver, obviously the actor that plays Bobby, suggested to speak this line in Japanese as he is fluent in Japanese.
I didn't know he was fluent. I'm trying to learn Japanese and it's extremely difficult, so that's impressive.
Well, Jim Beaver can be your guide. He can be your sensei in your Japanese learning.
Oh, can he please be my Japanese sensei? That would be fucking phenomenal. I'm just going to go up to him at MementoCon and just be like, just try and start speaking the four lines in Japanese I know.
I don't remember. I remember counting to 10 and like, arigato gozaimasu. I don't remember a lot of Japanese class.
We didn't have it, but like Tallahassee will eat to itadakimasu, which is let's eat. And obviously there's konnichiwa. I know chibi.
We had to take it in middle school.
See, we didn't. It was like, okay. We had to take French. We had French and Spanish and German. That was it. And then like as soon as I left, they were like, here, we're going to do a floating optional one. And the first year, I think it was Latin. And then the next year it was Japanese. And I was like, of course it was. The minute I graduate, you would teach Japanese when I've been obsessed with anime since the eighth grade.
Yeah, we had French, German, Spanish, Japanese. That was the first time I had sushi, was in Japanese class. We had Japanese foreign exchange students. And we actually had kids that went to Japan.
See, my friends also went to Japan, and I did not get to go. By the way, if you want to say it to anyone that's listening this night, at tonight, konbanwa. I know that. Konbanwa.
What does that mean?
Good evening.
Oh, good evening. Okay, in his rant to Sam, Dean mocks his singing ability. In real life, Jensen Ackles can not only sing, but he also plays guitar and piano.
He has a band.
Radio Company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody already knows that.
Yeah, I would hope so. If you don't, now you do, and you should definitely go check them out.
Yeah. Right before Sam explains ghost sickness to Dean, he offers his brother a box of donuts. Dean turns his nose up at the donuts and tosses the unopened box in the car. Sam looks puzzled by this action. But in later episodes, Sam and even Crowley state that if Dean turns down food, especially food like cheeseburgers and pie, it's a signal that something is seriously wrong with him.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah. Like, Dean, what's wrong? You didn't eat that cupcake. Like, we need to talk.
That's me.
Liz, you didn't eat that cupcake. We need to talk.
Yeah. Are you feeling okay?
You just walked past that. You know, you realize that, right? Okay.
We brought you ice cream.
Okay. Yellow fever takes place in Rock Ridge, Colorado. This is the name of the town under siege in Mel Brooks' comedy, Blazing Saddles.
Hell yeah.
Which, if you listen to our last episode...
We talk about it.
We chat just a teeny bit about Mel Brooks movies. Just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little. Mark, the snake owner, his snakes are Donnie, which is a jaguar carpet python, and Marie, which is, I thought was funny, Donnie and Marie.
Of course, they had to do it.
Yeah. Is an albino reticulated python. Both are constrictors, and Marie is easily large enough to wrap around your neck and kill you. In the wild, reticulated pythons grow over 20 feet long and can swallow some adult humans. Discussing the ghost sickness's initial patient zero, Dean says, our very own outbreak monkey. In the medical disaster movie Outbreak from 1995, a monkey recently infected with a very deadly viral hemorrhagic fever is captured and smuggled to the USA where it starts a catastrophic epidemic. The other team that the Gamecocks play, they're called the Corn Jerkers. So, in case you were wondering... corn jerking, aka corn shucking or corn husking, is the hand picking and husk removal of sweet corn. Before 1910, all sweet corn was harvested by hand.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. And corn jerking is also the high school mascot of a school in Hoopstown, Illinois. Talk about random fact. That was really random. It's
kind of a random name of a town, Hoopstown.
Hoopstown. Hoopstown. Hoopstown. When Dean is homesick in the motel and watching Gumby, Pokey gets lassoed and dragged out of the saloon behind a car, a direct foreshadowing of the way Sam and Bobby eliminate Garland's spirit. At the end of the episode, when Sam asks Dean what he saw when he was hallucinating, a yellow glow briefly passes over Sam's eyes before Dean answers him. You had mentioned that. You caught that. Proud of you. Good look.
Thank you.
Good look. When Sam was getting attacked by Luther, Jared can clearly be seen smiling at one point. I guess he thought it was funny. I don't know. When Dean says, I'm annoying, I know that. And you're gassy. You eat half a burrito and you get toxic.
Maybe he's just not used to eating beans.
Probably not. In Salute to Supernatural Vancouver 2009, Jared came up with the nickname Farticus for himself in regards to his propensity of being gassy.
That's so good. At least you can joke about yourself.
I am Farticus. Okay, and this last piece, Eric Kripke wrote this, and I guess there was something that was posted online, and he normally doesn't respond to things like in message boards or whatever. Message boards, that was 2008. But he felt like he needed to clear the air and respond to this comment. So he said, I've never before responded directly to the fandom's comments about an episode, and I don't plan to make a habit of it, but I couldn't resist dropping in a thought about yellow fever, which is this. Dean is not a dick. None of the writers or anyone in the creative team of Supernatural think Dean's ever been a dick, past, present, or future. He's a hero. Dean did not contract the ghost sickness because he's a dick. Victims contract the illness because they use fear as a weapon. Dean asks Lilith at the episode end, why did I get infected? And she cryptically responds, you know why. Listen to your heart. We as writers probably should have emphasized this mystery more. I take responsibility for that omission. But the point is, the reason he was infected is because of a secret he's keeping. A dark secret that would be revealed in episode 10. And not at all because of any dickishness, implied or otherwise.
I'm really happy you cleared the air on that one.
So Dean is not a dick.
Dean is not a dick.
Never was a dick.
I mean, he has some dickish moments. All right. So I'm going to talk about your buru buru.
Buru buru.
Buru buru.
I said it right that time.
Quickly, before I get into it, the sources I use for my research are yokai.com, hiddenremote.com, theshadowlands.net, occultworld.com, pantheon.org, encyclopedia of beasts and monsters in myth, legend, and folklore, and dictionary.apa.org. So the buru-buru is a ghost of fear in Japanese folklore. It means trembling, shivering with cold, or fear, or the sound of shivering. And it's actually part of an onomatopoeia for the sound of shivering and the chill of fear when you shiver, it's like brr. So it gets that.
Oh my God, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Brr, brr. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got it now.
They are actually spirits of cowardice and they feed upon your own fear. They are considered a yokai, which is a Japanese spirit or Asian ghost, demon, or monster. They are also called the Ayakashi, Mononoke, or Mamano, and they usually haunt graveyards and forests, places that humans can frequent but not like overly populated. They take the form of a shaking old man or woman, and they usually sometimes only have one eye. So if you see a shaking old man with one eye in a graveyard, go the fuck away.
Remind me to run like, yes, Dean away from the little dog.
Exactly. So the buru-buru attaches to the victim, sending chills up and down their spine, causing hairs to stand up on the back of their neck. They're known to cling to shirt collars and to touch the back of necks. Later on, the victim will die of fright. They sometimes go by the name of the zozogami, and they don't always directly kill. They can actually scare a victim so badly that they will lock themselves inside their own homes and take their own lives. Sometimes they can be zokuzokugami or the okuboyogami. These two actually possess the victim, unlike the buru-buru, and cause them to be too afraid to go anywhere. And I honestly could not find too much out about the buru-buru, but I did find also a little bit about ghost sickness, which is actually a culture-bound syndrome in Native American communities attributed to ghosts or to witchcraft. The Navajo believe that ghost sickness is caused by a spirit attaching to a person, usually a family member, causing harm and draining energy. They believe it can occur when burial rituals aren't done by the right person or if they're not done in the correct manner. And generally, these people can be cured by a spiritual leader who performs the traditional ceremonies to return the spirit to the afterlife. Some symptoms of ghost sickness include loss of appetite, anxiety, nightmares, fear, nausea, dizziness, depression, fainting spells, disease, hallucination, weakness, confusion, sense of suffocation, and necromania, aka irrational sexual attraction to the dead.
But that's a okay
symptom of ghost sickness.
Okay. Can you use that as your defense if you
I had the ghost sickness.
Do some corpses over
that's
there.
That's why I broke sickness. Into the now, the Apache tribes also feared ghosts of the dead, so they would actually bury the dead quickly after death and burn the deceased's home and belongings. The family would then perform a ritual purification and move to a new home to escape the deceased's ghost. So they would either try to make the move on and or just outrun the ghost. Families in the Apache tribes were also encouraged not to even speak the deceased's name for a fear of connecting to the ghost.
Could the ghost follow you?
Apparently not.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't mess around.
It's like you can't come after me.
Yeah, but you usually didn't even mention their names, so they wouldn't. Okay. There'd be no chance of them coming to you. Something kind of similar to this happens the Achura tribe of eastern Ecuador. They actually try to distance themselves as much as possible from the deceased loved one after they pass away by purging anything that could even be a slight reminder of the deceased. They don't even call the name of the deceased. Because that can engage the dead only leads to sickness. As with all the other tribes, the Apache and the Navajo, the rituals are conducted to ensure the ghost's departure. So they don't even mess around. Other cultures that believe in ghost sickness include the Hmong, who originally resided in Vietnam, the Samoans, the Polynesian culture, and the Salish, a Native American tribe of Northwest U.S. and British Columbia, just to name a few that believe in ghost sickness. Now, even Sigmund Freud had a belief that there's a continuous attachment to loved ones after they die, which is a sign of unresolved mourning. These can also potentially be seen as ghost sicknesses, which would then obviously manifest themselves in emotional and physical symptoms, which could appear as ghost sickness, such as depression, the lack of wanting to do anything, anxiety, all of those fun things.
Isn't that just like normal grieving?
I guess if it's taken to the extreme. However,
okay.
It is said that if you, in my research, obviously, because it's kind of a deep, dark thing when you lose somebody you love, if you find that your attachment to the deceased is preventing you from functioning in a normal way or moving on or completing your life as possible, then you need grief therapy, which is why grief therapy is a thing. But it's also to help you move on as well as the deceased to move on. But that's all I got, because there wasn't too much on ghost sickness, because there's no real ghost sickness. It's all mainly unresolved feelings and obviously the potential for possession.
Just a little potential to
and then
possessed.
the Buruburu, who isn't like a strong yokai but is a mentioned yokai, because there are tons of different types of yokai and Mononoke in Japanese cultures.
Interesting.
Yeah. But so next episode we will be touching on season 4, episode 7. It's the Great Pumpkin, Sam Winchester.
Oh,
we're already
goodness.
To the Halloween episode.
I like Halloween.
Me too.
Sorry, I was just reading my plot
no,
for
you're
next
good.
Time. I was like, what happens in this one?
Oh Cass good. Is back. I've been wondering where Cass has been.
Cass floats back again.
Cass is back.
Cass is back. Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Guess who's back? Near.
Thank you guys for listening. As always, you know where to find us. Send us some messages, DM us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Share us with your friends, family, enemies, coworkers.
Frenemies. That's what I put in our show notes. Your frenemies. Hunter Happy Hour is going to be August 14th at 6 p.m. on Instagram Live. We still have Buy Me a Coffee. You don't have to, but we'd appreciate it.
It goes directly right back into the podcast, guys. It doesn't go into our pockets. It's going right into like us holding this podcast down.
Yes, being able to continue.
All right, guys. Well, this one was short and sweet and to the point. Hopefully it did what it needed to do.
Did you get your fix? That's what we're here for.
And if you didn't, go back and watch the gag reels. Go and watch the outtakes.
And then watch Liz's TikTok.
Yes. Share it with your friends, families, frenemies.
Everyone. Frenemies.
Send it to those you like, those you don't like.
Just send everybody. Spread the word.
But until next time, we'll be celebrating Halloween in
June. Why not? We're
past the halfway to Halloween.
More than halfway to Halloween.
We're past the halfway to Halloween point.
Okay, fine.
But I'll tell you my fun tidbit of information before we even get to that episode that I actually had to write over here, because obviously there's no real distinct location for this episode coming up. But do you know who this episode is directed by?
No.
Charles Beeson.
Who's that?
It's the same name as my dad.
Oh. I'm like, no, I don't. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, he goes by CB, but it's Charles Beeson.
Oh, that's fun.
Ah!
Oh, that's cool. I've been trying to keep track of who's directing it for when Jared starts directing them.
When they all start directing them?
When Jensen starts, yeah, I'm like, this is the first episode that Jensen Ackles directed.
Because, I mean, even Richard Speight goes in and starts directing, too. Mm-hmm. They all get a little turn.
Everybody.
Heck yeah, wearing that director's cap.
Oop. That was me putting the hat on.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Okie dokie.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.